Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK. You can find us at stevejonesshow.com, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, Twitter handle at Steve Jones PSU, and we also invite you to subscribe to our podcast. It's available on iTunes, Apple Podcast app, Google Play. Just type in Steve Jones Show and hit subscribe. And once our shows air live on WKOK, we drop them to your smartphone and tablets. You can listen to them anytime, anywhere. And you always have access to 3 months of shows on our website, stevejonesshow.com. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai, North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. With you live till 5 here on WKOK, and then we'll have our Late Day News Roundup, Chris Elio at the anchor desk this afternoon, and then tonight after 7, CBS Sports Radio here on WKOK. And we'll talk some NFL with Neil Coulong, our Steelers analyst from the NFL Wire, senior editor there, USA Today. It is the NFL trade deadline, and Golden Tate is going to the Philadelphia Eagles, and he has been dealt from Detroit to Philly in exchange for a 2019 third-round pick. So at 4-4, and behind the 5-2 Redskins, could use a little bit of help. Alshon Jeffrey and his return from a shoulder injury. He has played well enough at this point to be considered the team's top receiver. Tight end Zach Ertz continues to put up some terrific numbers. Still their most reliable target in the passing game. But beyond those two players, Eagles a little short on weapons for Carson Wentz. Offensive line banged up. Nelson Agholor, yes, he's remained productive, but better suited for a complementary role rather than a starting role. And also keep in mind running back Jay Ajayi out for the year with a torn ACL. So that's where it makes sense. You bring in Golden Tate. Now there may be some Eagles fans that think third round selection in exchange for Tate may be a little too high, but keep in mind this one thing, and NFL analyst Adam Kaplan shared this interesting stat earlier this afternoon. Since entering the league in 2010, Golden Tate leads the National Football League in yards after catch with 3,910 yards and his 581 receptions, ninth highest total in the league. So you'll definitely get productivity from him. You'll see slants, digs, routes into the flat. So Eagles fans, you got something to be excited there. Get Golden in there, and he can brush up on the playbook this week during the bye week before the Eagles have their showdown with Dallas a week from Sunday, November 11th. So people that follow college football, specifically Big Ten football, we've been just kind of wondering week after week after week, what's Maryland going to do with DJ Durkin? We will finally find out this afternoon. After lunchtime this afternoon, we were tipped off that Maryland is going to be hosting a press conference about 15 minutes from now, 3:30 p.m. Eastern, to discuss the results of the independent investigation into the culture of the football program. There are already sources in Maryland that have heard that head coach DJ Durkin and athletic director Damon Evans will retain their jobs. Now, despite the announcement of the recommendation's final decision on Durkin and Evans is the prerogative of the president of Maryland, who does not have to follow the wishes of the Board of Regents. Durkin has been on administrative leave since August 11th. Offensive coordinator Matt Canada has been serving as the interim coach during the first 2 months of the regular season. Durkin's record...
My apologies, kind sir.
No, no problem at all.
No. Mr. Hamm and I were on the phone for about 20, 25 minutes. I want to reassure the audience, though, that in the 20 to 25 minutes we were on the phone, we solved every problem.
I love it.
Every single problem. A couple things in the Middle East, took care of that. Really smooth, you know? Okay, so let's see. Press conference was today. And I don't think there's any, what you call, earth-shattering out there about what he said during the press conference today. At least that I can recall. I mean, he talked about, at one point, I think he talked today about lateral moves at one point with coaches. Yeah, because he was asked about the coaching staff and new coaches and so forth, because I've had to have a changeover. You know, David Corley and Jay Onesider. No. Phil Galliano was already there, and he just moved Phil up, and he brought Tyler Bowen back, who had been on the staff before as a grad assistant. But I understand completely his point. Penn State should not be a place where somebody perceives that they leave and it's a lateral move. That's not what Penn State is, at least in my opinion. To me, Penn State's a place where, unless it is coordinator becoming head coach or assistant coach becoming a coordinator, hey, those are not lateral moves. And I think that, you know, that's important. You know, what do you do to make sure like stuff like that doesn't happen? It has nothing to do with the current staff. I mean, current staff you want to keep in place, obviously. Let's see. I believe the Maryland press conference is today, right?
3:30. Yeah, we were just talking about that right before you cracked the mic. We are hearing some reports that both DJ Durkin and the athletic director Damon Evans, they will retain their jobs. And that's according to the Washington Post. But, of course, the president can go against the wishes of the Board of Regents, but we will find out officially here later in the hour.
Wow. They're going to retain their jobs. Interesting. Wow. That would be one I would not have expected. How about that? That would not have been one I expected. I would have expected him to have been, you know, from the outside looking in, to be relieved of duties. Now, does this mean he comes back and coaches right away? Yeah, one would think that that's got to be, I mean, if he's going to be retained, one would think he takes over right away.
I would think, yeah, they got Michigan State this weekend. Yeah.
And it says here, Jeff Ehrman from 24/7 Sports. DJ Durkin is returning as the Terps football coach and will be on the sideline for Saturday's game against Michigan State, according to multiple sources. No offense about this move. First of all, I'm not for removing people from their jobs. okay? As I think everyone has known that for forever. But I think if you're sitting in a conference room at Maryland right now, something I would bring up would be, okay, guys, I understand what you want to do here. I got it, okay? But how's he going to be able to recruit? I mean, that would be a question I would openly ask the people around the table. Okay, I understand your findings here. I understand, in fairness, him keeping his job. But now I'm going to ask the question. How can we, Maryland, how are we going to be able to recruit? I can't see it. You know, it's not a question of negative. I don't even think a coach has to walk in and negatively recruit. The publicity's been bad enough. I mean, you got former players who are negative about the entire deal. You've had some current players that have been negative about it as well. I mean, do you walk in? I mean, how do you walk into the locker room? I know you recruited a lot of these players, but how do you walk into the locker room when some of them have said things that are not complimentary of the head coach? I don't know. I mean, we're in an era of player safety. What happened there is the ultimate tragedy. They lost a player for life. I mean, you're a parent and the Maryland coaching staff comes in to talk to you, knowing how things have gone. Okay, knowing what's been written and said about the head coach. Now, what's true and what's not true? I'm from the outside. I don't know. But if they're sitting in the living room, and you know, I'm talking to all your parents out there. If Maryland walks in and says, "Hey, we'd like to talk to you about joining, quote, our football culture," how are you going to react? How would you react to that? Say, for example, you've got Penn State, Maryland, Ohio State sitting there. And those are the three schools you're going to talk to. How many parents would discount Maryland almost right out of the gate just because of everything that's happened in the last year? That to me is a big one moving forward. Now, do they buy him out at the end of the year? I don't know. If you sit there and you look at the article it's put out on ESPN, it sounds like the board really wanted Durkin to stay. Under the category of really? And the president, I guess, is in, of course, caught in the middle of all this. And he's expected to announce... the Maryland president is expected to announce that he's retiring on June 30th. I mean, it's really a messed up situation down there. Huh. I don't know. They say that Durkin, according to the story, was very impressive in addressing the board, which had been divided on whether to retain or fire him. They met with Maryland Chancellor Robert Caret on Monday, but the meetings were postponed. Wallace Lowe spent an hour Monday afternoon in Adelphi, Maryland, where Caret keeps his office, and told ESPN upon leaving that he would not comment about his status or that of the others. Maryland is expected to inform the players of Durkin's expected return at a team meeting this afternoon before practices. Offensive coordinator Matt Canada has served as the interim head coach since Durkin was placed on administrative leave. Canada said at a news conference earlier today that the players remain the staff's top priority after a tumultuous summer and fall. Meanwhile, Jordan McNair's parents have called for Durkin to be fired. When I think of DJ Durkin, all I can remember is him sitting at our kitchen table assuring us that he would take care of my son, McNair's father Marty told ESPN. And he did anything other than that. See, that's the problem they're going to have moving forward by retaining him as the head coach. How can he look anybody in the eye and say, I'm going to take care of them? Now, look, obviously, a tragedy can take a sledgehammer to you and can change how you approach things. So, I understand that. So, is change possible? Yes. But part of that change, though, is convincing somebody else that you've changed. And I think that's going to be very, very difficult for DJ Durkin of Maryland. Really difficult. We'll take a break. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. All right, it looks like Maryland coach DJ Durkin is going to be retained. Okay, you heard James Franklin earlier today talk about Denny Dowds, whom in 1982, I was part of the broadcast team on TV that did the PSAC championship game between East Stroudsburg and Edinburgh up in Edinburgh. Denny Dowds was the head coach. And Denny Dowds announced his retirement on the field during a game in the final moments of Saturday's Senior Day game against for East Stroudsburg. According to the broadcast of the game, there were some whispers around the program that Dowds was set to retire at the end of the season after a 53-year run, 45 of which as the head coach. Still, there was confusion on the field. East Stroudsburg called a timeout. A timeout the team did not have available in the final seconds against Old Ohio Dominican. Nudged the official in front of me and said, sir, we're going to call a timeout. It's our fourth. I know it's illegal. You're going to penalize it, but that's okay. I'm retiring. I called the timeout with 4 seconds to go, blew the whistle. Kids came in, and I told them what we're doing.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Q Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Look, I think that the Maryland situation is highly unusual on many, many levels. And I'll be honest with you, I don't understand the decision made here.
And the reason I don't understand the decision is because I don't see how the program moves forward with him as the head coach. I can't see it. I mean, can you, Sean? I can't see. I see now that if they determine he's innocent, okay, I understand that. But you also now feel like your hands are tied.
It's just interesting that they have done their own due diligence, Maryland, but then you have other media outlets doing their own huge investigative reporting using the word toxic. I mean, that's been a word that's been kicked around quite a bit the last couple of months, but I'd heard that the official Maryland investigation, they don't use the word toxic anywhere in the report, but it just makes you wonder. I'd like to see both reports printed out, laid on the table, and just I'd be curious to see what Maryland has in theirs compared to what other outlets have come up with.
But if Maryland doesn't have the word toxic in their report, it's totally irrelevant because Maryland has been labeled a toxic culture. Doesn't matter whether the university uses the word or not. Okay? The biggest problem that you always have in situations like this is perception trumps truth. It's the perception that you have a toxic culture, because that word has been used over and over again.
It's like they're creating Rick Court as the fall guy, and they let him go in mid-August, right. And he had the buyout. Okay, yeah, we got. Okay, he's the bad guy. He's the one that caused all this. Let's just now move on and start the slate clean. Well, that's easier said than done, despite, you know, with everything that's going on and a loss of life.
Especially when you actually read what was going on, that the one person that Court reported to was Durkin. And if you read it, it makes it seem like Durkin, hey, whatever you need to do, we need to be tough. You know, in other words, we need to be tougher as a program. We need to have tougher players. We need to be tougher. Okay. And so this guy goes about working what he thinks is his alleged tough magic, and in the process, a young man dies. Now, am I saying DJ Durkin's responsible for that? No. But I also know that when something like that happens, and you've already fired one person, essentially, or bought him out, okay? So they bought out what they perceived as the problem. They are going to be, I just can't imagine that if a player, in conjunction with his parents or grandparents, are sitting there and they have other options besides Maryland that are Power 5 options, why would you pick Maryland? Why? And I don't have to walk in as another entity and say, hey, by the way, they have a toxic culture. I don't have to say anything about them. It's already been said about them. I find this to be, again, I am not, you know me, I'm not very big on people losing their jobs. I'm just not. Never have been. But this is one where that really defies explanation. And this has zero to do with Matt Canada. I know Maryland's 5-3 on the year. They just beat Illinois, and Leak had a big day. Kickoff return for a touchdown, big offensive day. But I just don't. So in the end, is the strength and conditioning coach Rick Court that gets bounced out of this? Now the athletic director is new to all this, so you know, new to a point. But I don't see how you can possibly function it and take the program forward with him as the head coach. Nothing to do with him as, you know, personally. But this is too much. It's too much for, I mean, to walk in, you're already, you can't overcome what's happened here.
Well, it's like if you and I were the CEO of a corporation, I mean, not football, but something else in business, and something were to happen with one of our colleagues or coworkers, I mean, how can you move forward? I mean, it happened on your watch. I mean, yeah. I mean, did you have something to do with that? But the thing is, though, you're the head coach. I mean, you are the head of that program.
Right.
I mean, it all falls on him.
Now, can you have somebody be rogue? Okay, because again, these off-season workouts, all right? Okay. The coaching staff can't be there, all right? So I mean, let's do this as fair as we can. There's no question who the CEO of the program is. It's DJ Durkin. At this time of the year, though, is when you have the least amount of contact with your student athletes. Okay, your strength and conditioning staff and your athletic training staff. And
if you'd like, we can go to some live audio from down in Maryland.
Yeah, let's go and hear what they have to say.
Being okay. Here today for those who haven't been keeping score at home, my name is Jim Brady, and I'm chairman of the Board of Regents of the University System of Maryland. As many of you know, the University of Maryland College Park is the state's flagship public institution of higher education and research. In recent years, thanks in large part to its many very talented faculty and students, it has continued its steady rise in many academic and other rankings. The University System of Maryland Board of Regents is determined not only to maintain, but also to accelerate the pace of that success. We share the aspiration and belief of many Marylanders that College Park can become one of the very best public universities in the nation in terms of both teaching and research. In lockstep with the academic success is the need to foster a well-run athletics program that is designed and operated to put the needs of our student athletes first. As has been said many times in recent months, athletics, for better or worse, serves as the front porch of the university. Which brings us to the topic we are here to discuss today. Since the tragic death of Jordan McNair on June 13th and the subsequent allegations regarding the football program, the Board of Regents has sought to uncover every discernible fact to better understand what happened and to make whatever decisions are necessary to ensure that it never happens again. We owe that to Jordan McNair, to his family and friends, to his teammates, and to every student athlete in the university and at universities across the system. In our efforts to uncover all possible facts and to ensure a thorough, responsible, and transparent process, the Board of Regents assumed control of two separate investigations. The first was led by Dr. Rod Walters and focused on the circumstances surrounding the death of Jordan McNair. That report was shared with Mr. McNair's family on September 20th and released to the public on September 21st. The board also assumed oversight and control of the independent commission to review the culture of the football program. Charlie Sheeler, a partner at DLA Piper, led that effort and is here with us today. The commission's report, which was not about and did not review the circumstances of Mr. McNair's death, was first shared with the board on October 19th. The board considered the commission's findings in a meeting on October 23rd, and the report was subsequently made public by the media. On October 25th, the Board of Regents accepted all findings and recommendations contained in the commission report. I would like to highlight just a few of those here. The board accepts the commission's finding that the Maryland football team did not have a toxic culture, but it did have a culture where problems festered because too many players feared speaking out. The board accepts that during football coach DJ Durkin's tenure, the athletics department lacked a culture of accountability, did not provide adequate oversight of the football program, and failed to provide Mr. Durkin, with the tools, resources, and guidance necessary to support and educate a first-time head coach in a major football conference. The board accepts that both Mr. Durkin and leadership in the athletics department share responsibility for the failure to supervise strength and conditioning coach Rick Court, and that on too many occasions Mr. Court acted in a manner inconsistent with the university's values and basic principles of respect for others. And the board accepts that the university leadership bears some responsibility for the ongoing dysfunction of the athletics department. These are, of course, just a few of the findings accepted by the board. The board also accepts all the commission's recommendations. This includes the recommendation, which was shared by Dr. Walters, that College Park should institute a strong medical model for student athlete care to improve health outcomes and ensure that the university is a leader in collegiate sports medicine best practices. What happened to Jordan McNair was tragic and heartbreaking. At the same time, the commission found no direct link between the administrative dysfunction in the athletics department and Jordan McNair's death. So what are we to conclude? After taking the time necessary to gather and thoroughly review the facts, and based upon what we know today, the Board of Regents believes that the university bears responsibility for what happened to Mr. McNair and will live up to its responsibility. In the coming weeks, I expect the Office of the Attorney General to conclude its legal review and advise the university and system as to next steps. While that process unfolds, the board's mission is clear. We must ensure that the recommendations in these two reports are implemented swiftly at College Park and as appropriate at every campus across our university system. As I mentioned, the adoption of an independent medical model is chief among them, and it must be implemented immediately. While this is not necessarily a standard practice at universities across the nation, it is a best practice, and it will be our practice. To ensure that this happens, the Board of Regents will establish an independent monitoring group to oversee the implementation of these policies and procedures. The independent monitoring group, which we expect to name in the coming weeks, will report to the full Board of Regents. Working with the Chancellor, the independent monitor will provide full and unhindered access to the university's athletic department, including its personnel, facilities, practices, and games. As we move forward with the implementation of these policies and procedures, we agree with the Commission that there is common ground to be found among the various stakeholders across the university. We believe that common ground will go hand in hand with our work to build an athletics department and culture that is consistent with our values, the most important of which is the well-being of our students. And that will depend on leaders on all levels, the board, the university, and the athletics department, and the football team. Let me take a moment to speak about these leaders. Both Kevin Anderson's and Rick Court's involvement and actions were heavily scrutinized in the commission report. Neither of these individuals are at the university today. The Board of Regents met last week with President Wallace Lowe, Athletic Director Damon Evans, and Head Coach DJ Durkin. All three individuals understand and have accepted that they share responsibility for the dysfunction within the athletic department. We also found that all three individuals share our commitment to improving the culture in the university's football program and to implementing the recommendations of both the Walters Report and the Independent Commission. As president, Dr. Lowe bears responsibility for the dysfunction in the athletics department. He has acknowledged as much to the Board of Regents. Since this summer, President Lowe has begun to implement a series of reforms, many cited in the Walters Report, to transform the operations of the athletics department. We expect him to continue doing so in the coming weeks and months. The board knows that Dr. Lowe is committed to this critical task, and he will speak to that commitment in a few moments. Damon Evans also shares responsibility for the dysfunction in the athletics department during the time that he served as deputy and interim director. He has acknowledged as much to the board and has agreed to address any remaining issues expeditiously. At the same time, we understand that as both deputy and interim AD, he first reported to another leader, then was only in a transitional position. Since being appointed to the role permanently in June, Mr. Evans has begun working with President Lowe to implement a series of reforms consistent with the findings in the Walters Report and the Commission investigation. We believe that Mr. Evans should be given the opportunity to lead the athletics department, and accordingly, we recommend to the university leadership that he be given that opportunity. He has shared with the board his thoughts on a strong plan to address the issues he observed in the department before being appointed its leader, and we believe that he is the right person to move the department forward at this critical time. The Board of Regents also met with Coach Durkin. We believe Mr. Durkin failed to adequately supervise strength and conditioning coach Rick Court, but that this failure is shared by the university's athletic department. We also acknowledge the many individuals who spoke with the Independent Commission about Coach Durkin and his leadership style. Those comments, as detailed by the commission, were at times very critical of Coach Durkin and his lack of oversight of Mr. Court. But many others, players and families in particular, spoke very positively and with great affection about Coach Durkin and his deep commitment to the football program and his players and their families. We believe that Coach Durkin has been unfairly blamed for the dysfunction in the athletic department, and while he shares some responsibility, it is not fair to place all of it at his feet. Coach Durkin was incredibly forthright with the Board of Regents during our meeting. He also participated in more than 10 hours of interviews with the Independent Commission. He has acknowledged his role in the athletics department's shortcomings while he served as head coach, and he is committed to ensuring the proper reforms, working with the independent monitor to see that they are implemented. For these reasons, the Board of Regents recommends to the university leadership that Coach Durkin remain head coach of the University of Maryland College Park football team.
So there you have it. I mean, you know, as usual, the ability to get to the point. Okay, fine. I understand in fairness, but you've got to be realistic. They can't recruit. They won't be able to recruit. Come on over and join the Maryland Party. Can't. You can't look at a parent in the eye and say, well, we're going to take care of your son. He can't do it. Somebody else can. He can't. All right. We'll come back with more in a moment. News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay.